This is a Black Heritage in the Upper Piedmont interview. I'm Yolanda Harrell. It's September the 13th, 1990, and I'm interviewing Brenda Knox. And Brenda, what is your full name?
Brenda Genevieve Sharp Knox.
And when were you born?
I was born August 21st, 1951.
And where were you born?
In Anderson County.
And which you told me earlier you
But I've always lived in Seneca.
You've always lived in Seneca, okay. And who were your parents?
My father was Dr. Bryant Sebastian Sharp, and my mother was Geneva Catherine Sizemore Sharp.
And can you tell me when each of them were born, starting with your father?
My father was born in 1877, September 12th. And my mother born June 23rd, 1910.
Do you know who your grandparents are? Can you name your father's father's parents to be your grandparents?
My father's parents were Joseph Sharp and Evelyn Glenn Sharp, and my mother's parents were Bruce Sizemore and Carrie Lemon Sizemore.
Do you remember anything about your grandparents? Do you know anything about them? Being around them?
Now, my grandparents on my mother's side, I knew them. My grandmother on my mother's side, Ms. Sizemore, died when I was in college, so I knew her.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather on my mother's side died when I was, before I got into elementary school, but I was very young.
Uh-huh.
I do not have a vague memory, or at least I'm told that I remember him, I'll put it that way. But my grandparents on my father's side died before I was born.
Yeah, because your father was right up there in years.
Oh, yes. He died in 56.
Yeah.
So I was only four and a half when he died.
Yeah, he was, how old was he with you when you were born?
Let's see, I was born in 51, so he had to be at least 70, 72, 73 years old.
And your mother was in her 40s?
My mother was 41, yeah.
Yeah, so she was much younger than your dad, right?
Yes.
Who are some other older members of your family? Do you remember any of them, or can you name any of them?
Now, on my father's side, I recall pretty well one of his sisters who lived in Atlanta for years.
What was her name? Oh.
And now, I remember her quite well. She died when I was in high school, I guess, 67, 60, mm-hmm. something like that. And so I remember her. She lived in Atlanta, and she'd visit us, and we'd go out there a lot. Other than that, on my father's side, I think that's about it, except for other cousins that live in the area now. On my mother's side, several of our cousins and uncles lived for a good while, and I knew them on the Sizemore side. And several of them are still living now. My mother has an aunt that's still living in Cleveland, but she's the only one of that generation of the Sizemores, because she was the baby sister. She's the only girl and the baby, and she still lives in Cleveland. But other than that, that's about it. Basically, we're like a family of cousins.
Right. Were both of your parents from Seneca area?
Now, my father basically grew up around here in Oconee County. His father had a farm and owned land down in the, off Highway 59, down in the, where St. Paul Baptist Church is now, down through that way. My mother and the Sizemore family, that side, were basically grew up and were born around in Pickens County, up around Liberty and Pickens, over in that area.
Uh-huh.
And then basically, as they got older, they moved over in this area when my mother and those children. But other than that, they grew up in Oconee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're
in the Seneca area. Really.
Yeah. Then you've lived in Seneca all your life?
Or? Yes, I've lived in Seneca.
Okay. Did your parents or grandparents own their own homes?
Yes.
All right. For instance, your grandparents, what did they do for a living?
Now,
we'll go to your father's parents first.
Okay, now my father's parents lived, like I said, lived down in the, down toward 85, down in, toward what it's called, Fair Play, down mm-hmm. through that area. So they, I guess, owned the farm down in that area because they deeded land to the church for them to build St. Paul Baptist Church. And then later on, they eventually became missionaries and left the area and went to Africa, and they died there after traveling over for a while. I don't recall right now how long they were able to live there, but they did.
You don't remember how long they were in Liberia, right?
In Liberia,
yes. You don't know how long they were in Liberia?
I don't know that right offhand. I think I have that information in a journal that my mother had kind of kept for my father from letters that were sent back and, that kind of thing. But I would have to find it to get exact dates and stuff. And I have seen it, so I know it exists. There is a kind of a journal where letters were sent back and forth. Now, my mother's parents lived around in this area also, and especially the Sizemore side, they all like owned farms around in the area and kind of exchanged, and many of the houses and stuff are still in existence. There are some others.
The homes that they lived in are still here. Mm-hmm. And where would that be? What section is that in?
Well, I think of the Sizemores are out off 123. There's one Nathaniel on the part out there. Captain was his father, that Sizemore. And they owned out through there. It was a pretty nice size area. They had some horses and things out there too at one time. There aren't any now. And so their home, old home place is still there.
So you're pretty sure they would have owned
the house where I grew up is still here. But the latest version of it was built in 48. Now, the old home for my father and his two brothers. Now, he had two brothers. One was a pharmacist and one was a dentist. And he was a medical doctor. So they lived on Oak Street,
right
around from where this is. And the last house that he eventually built is still standing. Uh-huh. Now, the old home place was torn down and, it hadn't been anymore about 4 or 5 years ago now, but it, other than that, it had existed for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are areas around here, but it's still kind of scattered.
What house did you grow up in? What street was that?
I grew up on Oak Street in
the
house at 305 South Oak Street.
Okay.
It was built in 48, so I made it.
Oh, I see. Okay, so they seem to own their own homes and didn't rent them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear any of your older relatives when you were growing up talk about their early lives or any or anything about talking about their ancestors' early lives or slavery or anything?
Basically, from what listening like to the cousins and all, and even the uncles and that were still alive when I was younger. They basically talked about that there really were no slaves in their immediate family, immediate ancestors. Now, how far back that went, I really don't know right off. There was a cousin of ours on the Sizemore side that actually went into detail and found as much information and traced it as far back as he could. And for the most part, he could not find any slavery lineage as far as he could go back. But on the Sharp side, I think it was basically the same way in that there has been no reporting of it. Now, I myself have not gone into great detail to see. I had at one time wanted to, but I have not been able so far to find any kind of direct link.
Yeah.
Now, but beyond that,
where it
begins or ends, I really don't know. But in listening to oral history as such, I've never heard of any.
So the closest ancestors that you know about were all freeborn to your knowledge, right? Okay. How about where they're buried? Where are the older members of your family buried? Do you know where that is?
Now, far as I can remember, all of the Sharps that are buried here in this area are buried at Oak Grove here in Seneca. And same thing with the Sizemores. That would be on my mother's side. Most all of the Sizemores that are buried here in Oconee are buried at Oak Grove. Now, mm-hmm. there are some, of course, that would be buried in Pickens and Greenville County and, you know, other places where they finally lived. But the Sharps, I think, for the most part, all of them are buried here. Mm-hmm. Same thing at Oak Grove. Now, there were some that are, of course, in other areas, and all of them were not brought back to Seneca.
Yeah.
But those that are buried in Seneca are buried at Oak Grove.
Are there graves marked?
I think so. I think most all of them are marked now.
Did you ever hear them talk about funerals long time ago? You know, not recent ones that you would know about, but how they were conducted or anything unusual or what?
Well, yeah,
that about?
I think basically I guess. Generally follow some of the same basic traditions,
uh-huh.
other than, you know, sometimes in listening to the older cousins and aunts and uncles would
uh-huh.
talk about, usually when you get together for another funeral, there would be, someone would bring up, well, you remember when Uncle So-and-so died or whatever, and comparisons sometimes would begin. But in listening to some of the traditions, I think basically there's saying I don't think over the years too many of the basic traditions have changed. You know, of course you have limousine now, maybe you didn't have that kind of thing
in some
of your horse and buggy.
Yeah.
But the same formalities were carried
uh-huh.
out. I do remember though that when my father died, that was like one of the few of that time where they still would take the body to the home, and it would, like for the wake, nowadays you have your wake usually either at the funeral home or sometimes at a church or someplace
mm-hmm.
else. But I remember them bringing my father home, and he like laid in state in the living room, you
yeah.
know, and it was like different. But that was probably one of the last times that kind of thing was probably done here in Seneca, because that was 56. That was
yeah.
January 56. So that was quite a while ago, but
that
was kind of to me that seemed unusual. But
maybe
I think from the past that had been that was a regular thing. That was what was done automatically.
Maybe it's the position that he held.
That could have been it. I don't know if it had been something maybe he had requested or
yeah.
it was just something that my mother wanted to
right.
do. And but I understand that prior to that, that had been tradition. That was accepted
that was
policy.
The
that was the
home.
Custom. Yeah, you generally did that. And I don't know if it had something to do with being like in rural areas. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
you would think, well, because most everybody lived out in the area where
mm-hmm.
it was. So it was just as easy to have the body lay in state there
mm-hmm.
at the house. And the visitors, when they would come,
mm-hmm.
could bring, you know, still the traditions of bringing food and sitting around for comfort and talking
mm-hmm.
and reminiscing.
Right.
And a lot of that, you know, goes on. But that's about the
yeah.
most unusual thing I remember about
did
that.
Did a lot of people come?
I recall, yeah, a lot of people were there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, for the funeral also.
Oh, sure. What about marriages or weddings? Did you hear anything about them? Anything that was different about the ones that were held long ago?
No, other than, obviously, you know, not quite as elaborate as maybe some now, but
uh-huh.
same basic format, traditions,
mm-hmm.
customs, and celebrations surrounding, you know, leading up to and after as far
mm-hmm.
as the receptions and that kind of thing. Just a matter of the area where it was held or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And, of course, now things are more open, so you kind of spread
sure.
it out a little better than everything happening at a house or everything happening at the church. So
mm-hmm.
now, you know, you get more involved with outside things as opposed to that, you know, didn't go to hotels and have receptions.
Right.
everybody just made up something real fancy, and it would be something very special, of course.
Yeah.
And I think probably the traditional wearing apparel was the same. You know, you decked out for it.
Yeah, had a nice wedding, right?
That's right. It was a very special occasion.
What families are you related to by marriage? You're a friend of Knox now.
Yes.
Is that family from around here?
Yeah, now there are several Knox in the area. Let's see.
What was your husband's name? What is your husband's name?
It's Carlton Lafayette Knox.
Uh-huh.
And but we're separated right now.
Uh-huh.
But yes, he has lots of relatives.
Uh-huh.
On his mother was a Harris.
Uh-huh.
And they lived in this area.
Uh-huh.
His parents now live in New York.
Uh-huh.
And his father, Knox, and he has several brothers and sisters in this area that are still
uh-huh.
here, and I see them regularly.
Uh-huh. Does your family have any old pictures, old photos?
Yeah, we've got quite a few around different places, and old photo albums.
So you have photo albums and photos if we wanted to see them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We could look through some things and see what you might could use. Okay. My son loves looking through them.
Oh, yeah.
I think he got that from my mother.
Yeah, they always like to look at
those
things. I'll have to tell Mr. Magnuson and Anna Reed about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular really old one that you have? It's like a grandfather or great-grandfather?
I'm not sure that they go, the ones that I have been able to find,
uh-huh.
I don't know that they go beyond my mother being young, like
uh-huh.
in her teens.
Yeah.
I think that's about the youngest picture of her I have found, some family pictures as well as some pictures from school at Central Junior College. They have, when they worked on the reunion, the first two or three reunion
mm-hmm.
programs they had, they were able to kind of round up a lot of different class pictures that they had. And I think the one on your pamphlet is one of those class pictures.
One of the class pictures, yeah.
Matter of fact, I think it has one of my aunts on it.
Probably does.
So that picture, as well as others like it, different people who had them over the years and just kind of said, oh, yeah, well, I have that. And they brought them and kind of used them.
Yeah.
And it was nice.
Your mother worked on the first reunion.
Yeah, when they got together, it was, that first one they did was a class of 27. That
was
class at, class 27. And that was like their high school class, because it was a high school as well as junior college
right,
as such.
Right.
And when they finished it, that's what they used it for. And it, you know, a lot of people came from all over. You
mm-hmm.
know, a lot of people came in from other parts of the country as well as the state to school there.
Right.
And from there, a lot of them transferred to other colleges and
right.
stuff. But it served as a high school and a kind of a first year and second year
right.
college. So, yes, my mom was on one of those first committees that decided, well, why not? You know, they had you know, reunions were a regular thing, and they just happened to think, well, we hadn't done it. And the Seneca River Baptist Association that owns it and
uh-huh.
had controlled it at the time when it was still in service, it said, well, let's use the property, and, you know, it's sitting there, we may as well make the best of it. And that was one of their main fundraising ideas, was to, let's have a reunion.
Uh-huh.
And so she and several of the other members of the committee got on the phone and found all these people and wrote letters to each other. Have you heard where so-and-so is? And they were able to.
What year was that? They did that?
I think they started doing it 70. I believe it was 77 because
was
it would have been, that was been the first one. And that was like their 50th year, whatever. They were celebrating.
Yeah.
And it was.
Oh,
really, it was pretty successful. They had a lot of response from that, and then they in turn had another one like 2 years later
uh-huh.
and 2 years later, and so it worked pretty good.
Oh, good. Now, what did your parents do for a living? Your father, we'll start with first.
My father was a medical doctor,
uh-huh.
and he worked in this area. He went to school at what's now Shaw University. In Raleigh, they had a medical school in the area, Leonard Medical School is what it was called. And he graduated. I have his graduation picture. I do have that on a picture. And then he returned back to Oconee County, and he served as a medical doctor.
Now,
I still hear people who will say, "Yeah, your father was my doctor." Or,
what was the first year he was a doctor? Do you have any idea when he started practicing medicine here?
I don't remember what year he graduated. I'd have to look on the, it's like, you know, the older pictures where they have each little individual picture?
Yeah.
It's one of those. And it has the year on there, but I don't, right off, I don't remember what year. He was, I've always been told that he was very instrumental in saving people during the flu epidemic
of the
1917-1918, that he was one of the few doctors that were in the area at the time, and he worked real hard.
He was practicing medicine then
before
the 1920s.
He was practicing
medicine.
Oh, yes.
Right. Where did he practice medicine?
Just here in Oconee, Pickens area, because at the time, of course, he was the only black doctor in the area. And, of course, his patients were mixed of all kinds.
Yeah, he had black and white patients.
Yeah, black and white patients. And like I say, when people realize that I'm a sharp, they'll say, "Are you related?" And I'm saying, "Yes, that's my father." And I say, "Well, yeah, I knew him, you know." And it feels nice to hear people that still remember him.
Sure it does.
We had some that, we used to have people that would come to the house. They were still looking for him. They did not know he had died in 56. They hadn't been sick, you know. Like, they knew the last time they were sick, that's who they came to. So I always thought that was neat when I was little.
Yeah. Where is his office? Where was his office?
Well, he had, basically we used, they had converted the basement in the house. It had a sitting area, like living room, waiting room area, restroom, and then his examining room was like at the back, so it was like, it's like a full basement, so that was his office.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a nurse, and
of course she was.
Yeah, she went to school in Greenwood at Brewer Hospital there, and then from there she went to Columbia and went to school at what was called Waverly Good Samaritan, and she worked there at that hospital until she graduated. And after she got after they married, then she came back to Oconee. And
where did they meet?
Here.
Here.
Yeah, because he was already, I guess he was already practicing when she was going up.
Yeah.
They knew each other, you know. And my grandmother on my mother's side and one of my aunts had suffered with the flu that came through in the 1917-1918, and my mother, ironically, was one of the few that did not get sick, so she had to help take care of the others. And my father was the doctor that would kind of check on them and had her telling her like what to do, and she was only about 7 or 8 years old. And so I've often heard that one.
Tell me about the flu epidemic. Was it he never got sick from it, right?
Not that I know of. To my knowledge, it never affected him. But there were a lot of people in this area, well, all over, you know, like the Southeast that were affected, and maybe even all over America, because it's one of those flu epidemics that's listed. I teach physical education and health, and so I have seen that listed as one of those major, epidemics, especially that affected the United States, and it's kind of unusual to think, well, my father was a doctor during that time.
Oh, yeah, well, that's one of our scheduled questions, but we'll talk about it now ahead of time, only because you mentioned it first, and I think that's great. And why was he so active? He was one of the few doctors here?
Well, I think probably at the time there may have been maybe 3 or 4 doctors total, you know, in the area.
Oh, gee.
And of course, everyone was sick. And they needed help, and so, and I think probably by him being one, because at the time he would have been one of the younger doctors too.
Yeah, that's right, he would have been. Yeah.
So, just kind of fell in his lap. I mean, it's like almost anything.
Yeah.
I'm a doctor. Let me see what I can do.
Did you ever wonder why he didn't get it, or and your mother didn't get it either?
I don't know. I guess it just happened that way.
Yeah.
Might have just been the exposure and making sure they took care of themselves as well as everyone else. Yeah. You know.
Of course, I'm saying your mother did. She probably was not even born. Well.
She was about seven.
Oh, so seven or eight. She was born in 1910.
She would have
been a little girl.
She was a little girl.
Yeah.
And I remember her telling me over the years that really she ended up having to wait on just about everybody else in the house because most of them did get sick. Her mother was not sick right away, but in taking care of others, you know, probably some of the other relatives too.
Right.
She did eventually come down with it. And I remember my mom telling me that she had to help out as best she could, even though she was a little girl.
Did anyone in the immediate family die, to your knowledge?
Not that I know of. Yeah. I don't recall her mentioning anyone in this immediate area that she knew of that died.
Yeah.
But that there were a lot of people that did contract it. They were very ill.
Sick people.
But they managed to pull through.
Good. I guess your father was pretty busy during that time.
Yeah, from what I understand, and he was everywhere. You know, it was like, because with so many people sick at one time, it was like just a regular, it was like, you didn't just come by the house and stay and look after everybody. You came by to check.
Right.
And at the time, you know, of course, everybody was still making house calls.
Yeah.
And he just wouldn't, that was his rounds. It was like, I guess like the doctors nowadays make rounds at the hospital, go from one room to the next. Well, at a time like that, especially when everybody's really affected, and every household probably affected, then you just go from house to house, and that was your making rounds. And that was a regular part of what he did, she said.
Did he have a specialty? Was he a family doctor or what?
Just general, think what you would consider general practitioner, especially for the time.
They didn't start doing that so much till later.
Did the best you could with what you had, and
he was a good old family doctor. He still went to the room, right?
He delivered bunches of babies.
Oh, did he really? A lot of them, huh?
And took care of them from then on, you know.
What did your, what did your mom do for a living? I know what she did. She was a nurse.
She was a nurse, and then after my father died in 56, later on, after they were married even, she just kind of got to the point where she just helped him out a little bit. It wasn't like she was like his regular nurse or anything, but she did help out somewhat.
She just kind of
took care of the household, I guess, for a while. And after he died, she became an insurance agent for Pilgrim Health and Life Insurance Company. So she did that for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Basically, as I went through elementary school, when I got in, I guess junior high, that would have been 61, 62, she went back into nursing and started, I think kind of at the encouragement and a little help from Dr. Battle in there, Dr. C.T. Battle, because they had, when their family moved in to Seneca, it was like it helped kind of relieve Daddy. That was right about the time that he had started, you know, getting sick and was already elderly. And it really kind of helped. I don't know if he was so instrumental in bringing them to Seneca because they came from Alabama.
Yeah.
But not that they really shared a practice so much, but it was like an exchange, you know. And so after they came in, and we had all been, you know, close over the years, and I think he was, at least she would say that he was one of the people instrumental in kind of talking her into going back into nursing because, you know, they knew she liked it and was good at it, you know, pretty good at it, so why not? So I think she kind of gave it a shot, and they took her, and she enjoyed it. For the most part, after that, she worked in the newborn nursery. From then until she retired. So she loved that. That was
fun for her.
So I grew up hearing about all of the babies that were born, sick ones and those that
were healthy. Was that in the hospital? Which hospital was that?
This was at O'Connor, here at O'Connor, yeah.
What about your grandparents? What did they do for a living, starting with your on your father's side?
Like I said, now, on my father's side, they were farmers, from what I understand, and were very religious in that regard, and really wanted to be missionaries. So it was like, after that turn occurred in their lives, then they died before they got back from Liberia. So it was like, that was it, you know. But before that, prior to that, I think they were basically farmers.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. They went to Liberia. It was just two of them, and how
they
many
took
of the
some
children
of the children.
Went?
Now, I don't remember how many actually went. Several of the.
You said some ran away.
I was always told by my mom that the reason that some of the sisters didn't have to go, I think it was like four boys and four girls, or five boys and three girls, something like that. But three of the girls didn't go because they ran away. And I think two of them ran away and got married to keep from going. And actually, it's kind of strange, but it was like that saved their lives because the others never got back.
Yeah, and some of them didn't return.
So, some of them.
Yeah, didn't Charles Watson's mother came back? She returned.
All right. That's